Well, good morning, and thank you everybody for coming. It's a pleasure to be here and be able to share a little bit of what we're doing with this UAS technology. We believe this technology has great potential for not only for agriculture, but also for plant breeding. So how do we see this technology being especially important for plant breeders? We know that breeders starts with a big gene pool. So we have our genotype here, and then obviously we have our environment. And we know that the interaction between our genotypes and our environments will lead us to our phenotypes in the field. Now, what the UAV technology or UAS technology allows us is to actually revisit those phenotypes in the field, you know, on a pretty regular basis. And depending on the sensors that they're equipped with, they're able to capture information on a specific trait that you may be interested in. And the main goal is to be able to provide a tool for plant breeders to help them or to assist them in the cultivar selection. So they might be looking for different characteristics within their population, so they might be looking for different growth habits, stress, tolerance, earliness, health, and that sort of thing. So what we use for this particular trial here, we use the simple DJI Phantom 4 regular RGB sensor with 12 megapixels, and we also use the custom 3DRX8 platform with a Tetracam ADC snap for capturing multispectral for NDVI. And this one is also outfitted with a FLIR ViewPro R for thermal. I won't be showing any of the thermal data, but there is a session from Dr. Chang from our team that will be talking in the engineering conference this afternoon about that. And so, what can we extract from UAV data, UAV imagery? We're looking into temporal plant growth patterns. So like I said, the UAS technology allows us a pretty frequent revisit time on the field. So we're trying to track changes over time. So we're looking into changes in plant height, canopy cover, biomass. Also looking into some plant health, or more like our team likes to talk about it, some efficiency terms or canopy efficiency terms. So things like NDVI and canopy temperature. Obviously, to be able to have an idea of maturity and yield, we're looking into bloom counts and open bowls. And Dr. Jung also mentioned that we're looking into the doing some growth analysis. So we're looking into temporal data points and extracting growth rates and that sort of thing. And then we're also feeding that information to simulation models. The data I'm going to show you today here a little bit is about this study we had in Corpus this year. We had 31 entries, two water regimes, four applications, two row plots, and we divide each row for a plot in 10 grids. So just to give you an idea of the volume of data that we're generating, we're getting approximately 9,800 measurements per parameter per day that we fly. Okay, so just keep that number in mind. So how are we doing this? Okay, the first thing that we start with is plant height. So prior to planting, we'll collect some data over the field, and we'll get this map over here, which is nothing more than an elevation map of your field. Okay. Then every time we fly over the crop, we get a digital surface model, which is basically the elevation of the surface. And then just by subtracting the base to to the surface model, we get the actual crop height. Okay. The next strategy is to set up plot boundaries and then plot grids over our plots. So what this strategy here allows us to do is, we all know that there is a Nelly effect on the borders of our plots. Obviously, there is no plant competition over here, so those plants tend to grow a little more and they tend to yield a little more. Now, since we're extracting all that information by grid, you could possibly go in and remove those grids on the top and those grids on the bottom. That way you'd be removing that alley effect, essentially. If you notice, we have a skip over there in that grid. You could remove that grid from your analysis. And obviously, because you have that gap, every one of the grids that surround it will also possibly be affected by not having plant competition there. So you could also go in and remove those if you want to. Okay. And then for a canopy cover, we're looking at this grid structure here, just zoomed in a little bit. We're doing a binary classification, just discriminating between green pixels and then everything else. So green pixels we're saying is canopy, everything else we say is background. So what is green we turn white, everything else is black, and then just by calculating the ratio between black and white within each one of those grids, we come up with a canopy cover percentage. Okay? So for bloom counts, and this is where we think we're looking into measuring plant maturity. You can see that there are some blooms over there. We developed a automated program to detect those blooms and then tag them in the images. And then, of course, you can set up a visualization grid on top of it, so you can visually see where the most of the blooms are. Obviously, cotton bowl analysis is also very important. I won't go into the details, but Dr. Juno will be talking also in the engineering conference about this. But we also working on developing a automated methodology that will detect the bowls and then give you a count and an idea of size. Okay. And then, you know, after the image is classified, it looks something like this. So for plant height measurements, here what I'm showing you is dry land and the irrigated side, just two different plots, okay? Two different plots over time. We have UAS estimates, and we have our ground data over here. In the bottom here, what I'm showing you is a combination of the dry land and then the irrigated, just to give you an idea of where we are overall between dry land and irrigated. So we feel that plant height is an important parameter if we're trying to track plant growth. And at this point, we're fairly satisfied with the results we're getting from the UAS. It can always be improved, but at this point we're fairly satisfied with it. So I also mentioned that to be able to track plant growth, we're looking into growth analysis in some nonlinear models. So in this example here, let's say for plant height, canopy cover, and canopy volume data sets, you know, we have, this will be your parameters here. So from zero, let's say if we're talking about canopy cover, from 0 to 100%, and this is days after planting or days after emergence, okay? So from that, we're obviously looking at the maximum plant height or the maximum canopy cover, maximum canopy volume. By calculating the first derivative, we get a bell-shaped curve like this, which is a growth rate curve. Okay, so we can look at the maximum. We can look, extract when that maximum is happening. If we look at half of the maximum rate, we can look at when those dates were, and also the duration of half of that maximum growth rate. For data sets like NDVI and excessive greenness index, which is one of the other, let's say, efficiency terms that we've been using, an example, we can have a time series data that looks like this. We can look at the maximum. We can look at the date where that maximum happened. We have this, we can calculate the slope increasing. We can calculate the slope decreasing. Where those two slopes intersect, the duration of each one of those, and the area underneath each one of those. Now, the reason why I showed you all that is because we're looking into extracting all these parameters out of our data set, our images, and this is, we're talking about 60 parameters here for each one of those grids, for each one of those meter square grids, for each one of the dates that we fly. So by looking at this, you can have an idea of how large of a data set we're talking about here. Okay? So this is just an example of an attempt that I made, just kind of trying to manually sort through the data and using six different parameters here. So I picked the growth, canopy efficiency parameters, and bulb parameters to try and estimate yields. So this is measured, this is predicted, we're about 74% there. Okay, so because that data set is so big, we think that we need to start employing some computational algorithms to be able to sort through that data. Now, to help the user, we provide a data matrix that looks something like this. So you'd have your genotypes from 1 to N, and then all your parameters here. So that'd be from P1 to, let's say, P60. The user would be able to select whether he's trying to select a genotype for wet or dry environments. He'd be able to pick whether there are specific parameters that he wants included in that ranking system, let's say, and select whether he wants that value to be a high value or a low value, and even possibly assign a weight for that particular parameter. And then after the computer runs the data, it'll give you a ranking that looks like this. And then you can sort it and be able to have your variety or your genotype ranking there. Okay? So this is where we, or how we think this needs to be done to be able to sort through out that massive data set. So we're beginning to work on machine learning algorithms, which we think is the way to go to be able to, you know, actually make sense out of that massive amount of data. So essentially we're providing the computer data, both unsupervised and supervised, where we actually tell the computer this is this and, you know, this is that, for example. It all goes into a bag of goodies, if you will. And then the machine learning algorithm will actually sort through it and be able to classify into different groups and also predict things, so yield and growth and other parameters. And then finally, we're also working on providing maps, you know, to the breeder so he can actually visually see what the computer is telling him. So he'd be able to have a map like this for, let's say, lint yield, number of bulls and average bull area, for example. And so if you're looking for the top 10% lint yield, he could come here and just, you know, look over here and select, pick the red ones and discard the rest. So I mentioned some of these presentations here during my talk, but these are the main talks that from our team that will be going on in the engineering conference this afternoon. And with that, thank you, and I'd like to take the time here just to thank the Texas A&M AgriLife Research for supporting our team and also for COT Incorporated. I'll be happy to hear any comments and answer any questions.
We are running out of time, so maybe we need to